Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. My name is Jeanette Abney, and I want to thank you for joining us here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. I want to first thank my Heavenly Father for waking me up this morning, despite what I'm dealing with my body. He still saw fit for me to see another day. I also want to basically remind individuals that today's topic is the power of prayer, and when it's coming to and dealing with our weather, a lot of individuals, and I've been receiving text messages from my brother-in-law, as he's been telling me some things that's been going on in Ohio. So I want to make sure that we still keep these individuals in prayer in regards to those that are losing their homes, that are dealing with the tornadoes, and a lot of other bad conditions that is happening, and even things that are happening that I'm seeing on the news. I was watching where a young lady, a little girl, protected her brother from being abducted. And it's just so much going on today. So, like I said, we definitely, and this topic is definitely needed. Now, we started talking about the topic in regards to the power of prayer. Prayer is one of the most powerful weapons God has given us. And today, more than ever, it is important that we get on our knees and develop a prayer life. And a lot of times individuals say, well, you know, how do I start? What's the difference between praying and fasting? What is prayer about? Now, it has been said that many individuals, especially Christians, do not know how to pray. But yet, whenever I'm looking at social media, I'm looking at Facebook, when someone says that their loved one has passed on or transitioned, the first one people say is, I'm like, pray for you, I'm going to keep you in my prayers. But is that really even true, or is it just a ritual, or it becomes so routine, that's what we automatically say? Not only that, when we start talking about praying for other people, do we even pray for ourselves? Now, there are situations where sometimes, and I've heard people say, that it's not always easy to pray, especially when going through a storm or going through pain in your life. But prayer is powerful, and it should not be underestimated. James 5, 16, 17 declares that the power, when you talk about prayer of the righteous man, is a powerful and effective. So it looks like our pastor has joined us. So let me log him on. Good morning, Pastor. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. It's a blessed day in the Lord. We're happy to be here on this Tuesday following Memorial Day holiday weekend. And God has blessed us tremendously. We have a great topic today on prayer, and I look forward into getting into the subject. For those who are unfamiliar with me, I'm Pastor Dan Estelle from High Dominion Worship Center, soon to be merged with United Methodist Church of San Marcos, and we are located at 800 West Mission Road in the beautiful city of San Marcos, 800 West Mission Road, and we're glad to be on the show today.
Mm-hmm. Pastor, before you get started, I want to tell you something that I did. I had an individual on Facebook, because I go on social media, even though I don't check my emails, but I had a person on social media try to get me to join a group. And the group that he tried to get me to join was an atheist group. So when I saw that, I wanted to respond to him by telling him, I apologize, but I'm not interested. But then before I even said anything to him, because I didn't want to go back and forth on Facebook, what I did was I went on to his Facebook page to see what was going on with this particular gentleman. And I saw that he is an attorney in Orange County. I don't want to put his name out there. But what I did was I sent him the show, and I said to him, I would like for you to call in if you can. I received your group invite and wanted you to share your input. Thanks in advance. I hope he clicks on. But what I found that was interesting was, as I was going through some of his stuff, it looks like this particular gentleman was diagnosed with a blood cancer. And It looks like he got mad at God. And so what he did was he started his own group. And he's been trying to recruit individuals to become atheists. Because a lot of times when we talk about prayer, individuals don't realize how powerful it is. And God most definitely listens to prayers. He answers our prayers and moves in response to the prayers. But I want to say before you get started, I was listening to Tony Evans, and I was listening to him this morning, too, and it was interesting what he said was, he said God has three responses sometimes, a yes, a no, and a wait. And sometimes
yep.
God has already answered our prayers before we even ask for the prayer, but sometimes we don't get the response that we want, Pastor. It seems like that's when people get angry. So
yeah.
Please help us and help the believers and the non-believers with this when we talk about the power of prayer.
Yes. First of all, let me, in reference to what you said earlier, is that God, the people who believe in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, or what we call the Godhead, the sovereignty, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, understand that he is a sovereign God. And when you understand that, you reverence him and you worship him. He is the creator of the universe, of what we know. And the Word of God, the Bible, the canon Bible, is what we use to learn about our God. And what people have to understand is that, in reference to prayer, is that our God is not a genie in a bottle. It's important for people to understand that because, you know, you don't get the rub three times and then now you're in command of the one who has the power to grant the wish. That's the whole false concept about the genie in the bottle. Because if I got this much power to grant what you can't do, how can you control me? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And people lose that concept in the story. It comes to my mind right away because I just took my boys out, you know, family. We went to the movie to see Will Smith in Aladdin. And it's a good movie with a good reference to it for kids and a clean movie for kids, especially nowadays. And so what the believer understands is that we come to God because he first loves us. Prayer is what God has deemed or set in place as communication between us earthlings or us mortals and then between him, the immortal. And prayer is the language for believers. And that's what we need to understand first. The Lord tells us to come and to bring our petitions before him. And when we do that, the Lord will answer them at his behest. Similar to what you said earlier, is that our God is, you know, a good God. He's sovereign. He's faithful. He's honest. He's true. He's virtuous. He's all those things. But most of all, he's a good father. And he says in his scripture, you know, if earthly fathers give good gifts to their children, how much more so do you think your heavenly Father will? Meaning that God does want to bless us. But because he's sovereign and because there's a relationship, there's some things that we have to do on our part. And I'll get into those as we get deeper into this subject and as different questions come in. But I want to let people understand is that there's prayer, there's answered prayer, and then there are gifts that come from the Lord that have already been ordained before the foundation of the world. And then there is grace, where the Lord blesses us unmeritedly, okay, meaning not deservedly, and because he is sovereign, grace, because he knows our future, okay? And all those things we take for granted. See, if we thank him, worship him and give him praise for our parents, for birth into this world, for our situation, for our gifts, for our callings. If we thank him for waking us up, for the little things he does, and for where we're at right now, then through prayer, answered prayer, we go to another realm. We go up higher in the Lord. And that's what we need to understand when it comes to God. The Lord will answer prayer, but he does it in his own time, and he does it on his own accord, and he does it based upon how he knows us, which is an important point because he knows how we're thinking, where our heart is, and and where our mindset is, and but we don't know everything about Him.
Gotcha. And you know, Pastor, when we talk about Philippians 4:6-7, and declares, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God." Now, but the problem is, and it seems like what happens is a lot of individuals get upset because we become anxious. You know, I, being a licensed therapist, I've had individuals come to me and say that they were angry at God because God let their grandmother die. And
uh-huh.
Even when we talk about Mary and, you know, they were talking about with their brother Lazarus, you know, a lot of times we get upset because we want immediate gratification, like you said, the DNA genie, you know, meaning that if I ask for it, I'm going to automatically get what I want. It don't work like that. And it seems like that's where individuals get upset. You know, and when we start talking about, and I put on Facebook, who is your source of power? And the power
right.
of prayer is undeniable. And to those who pray regularly, prayer can start your day off. It can end your day. It can be the middle of the day. It can be for healing. There's a lot of different types of prayer. I was even watching the news when I woke up this morning, and they had this picture of a church with the tornadoes that was going on in Ohio, and somehow they had the symbol of the cross on the church that did not demolish the church. And the one thing they said was prayer worked. And I was like, wow. So it's even becoming more evident, even psychologically and scientifically, people are seeing that when individuals are getting together and praying, it can change things. And when we start even talking about that, it can have a positive and sociological effect, even though there's different types of prayers and different benefits, and I'll go on to that. But, Pastor, when you start talking about prayer and, you know, the different types of prayer, whether it's corporate prayer, whether we pray for healing, can you let the listeners know what happens because how we get caught up in all of that?
Well, again, it's on the maturation level of believers. And so, you know, as you mature more in the Lord, you understand the different types of prayer and how mm-hmm. to use the scriptures when you pray to step into a more, let me put it this way, a higher realm with the Lord or a more divine place with God. The Lord teaches us in Matthew how to pray. When we, on our Father which art in heaven, that means you start with reverence. Okay, hallowed be thy name. To come before Him with reverence and with honor, and thy kingdom come. And that means, you know, we're a part of the kingdom, okay? Thy will be done, praying that His will be done in our life first. Again, He's not a genie, okay? Forgive us our debts. We forgive our debtors, our trespasses. We forgive those that trespass against us. That's Jesus in the formula of prayer, teaching the believer to try as much as possible as we can to come before the Lord correct. Even now, before I set myself into prayer, I ask the Lord to forgive me of any sin that I may know or may not know, sins of omission or commission. And then when someone prays, it is not an exercise. You must come and you must pray by faith. And what we mean by that is to have trust in that you are actually in communication with your God, that you are actually in communication with the Heavenly Father. And what I mean by that is that God knows our heart. He knows when we're earnest. The Pharisees used to stand on the corners and pray, and Jesus called them vile because they were just praying for the people to see them as a show and so that the people would call them holy. And that had nothing to do with prayer. You know, we hear in the scriptures, we see in the scriptures, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. The last time I checked Webster, you know, effectual and fervent, okay, means that we're praying with some tenacity, with power. Effective means that we're praying with faith and with trust in God, and that's what it means. It means that, you know, effective prayer means that I'm coming, I'm praying because I want to see some changes. I'm praying because I have faith that who I'm praying to can do it. I'm praying because what prayer does is that it's communication with God, but it's also building my faith within me It's also helping mm-hmm. my spirit and my inner being, because that lends back to what you were saying before about people who may not even really, you know, they know there's a higher presence. They may not be at the place of believing in God yet, but they exercise prayer. You know,
mm-hmm.
one of our groups, the Alcoholic Anonymous groups, some of them, you know, are not believers, but they pray for their addiction.
Right.
They pray because they know something is taking place, something is happening.
Right.
And as they begin to grow and learn, you know, it helps with their elevation. Now on
right.
to what you were saying is that as we begin this Christian journey and we make prayer a part of our life, and this is what I tell people. There's some daily things we do when we get up in the morning. Hopefully you make your bed, you know, you go in the washroom, you wash your face, you take a bath, you comb your hair, you brush your teeth. Prayer should be at the top of that list. It should be mm-hmm. a daily part of our daily routine and process, you know, and make it part of our lifestyle. And when you're communicating with the Lord, you're staying in solid relationship with the Lord, and that keeps us on a good foundation. And so
right.
we have seen people, we have read accounts, I've read tens of books on prayer and people and their testimony and the power of prayer. And there's
mm-hmm.
scientific proof of prayer, as you stated earlier. There's so much proof for it, for what it does to the body, what it does to the heart, to the mind and soul. It's good practice for the believer. It's one of those things, like my grandmother used to say, even if you think it's not doing any good for you, it can't hurt you.
Correct. And that kind of goes into, even when we talk about praying without ceasing. You know, I was up last night trying to find a lot of information to try to get individuals to better understand what's going on, because, like I said, we want that immediate gratification. We want that quick fix. And I want to
mm-hmm.
read some of the – first, I want to – before I even go to different type of prayer, it talks about prayer is the key that unlocks all doors. It don't discriminate. And a lot of times, one of the things that we find, because when you were talking about like praying in the morning, praying at night, and it said, have you prayed about it as much as you talked about it? A lot of times
mm-hmm.
we just talk about okay, but we never take it to prayer. And then it says, pray until your situation changes. Miracle happens
yes.
every day. Never stop believing God can change things very quickly in your life. A lot of times we want it done now, and which brought to the topic the power of prayer. Now, I wanted
mm-hmm.
to mention there are some benefits, Pastor, and some of the information that I found that talked about the benefits is you have more connections. You have less depression, and I'm going to go back to that, less stress, improved forgiveness, less anger, and better self-control. Because it goes back to what you were talking about in regards to the AA community, and even when they talk about the different steps, they believe in a higher power, a power that's greater than themselves. And yes, a lot
yes.
of times individuals don't believe in God when they talk about the AA, but they know that it got to be something more powerful to get them out of what they're dealing with, because their life has become unmanageable, which is basically
amen.
The first step to addiction or
yes.
narcotics.
Now, amen. I mentioned them, but it's for all of those that are in the addictive community. People dealing
mm-hmm.
with other addictions also pray as well. And so
mm-hmm.
what's huge about all of that is, for the believer, is to understand that not only did Jesus give us the model to pray, but that Jesus prayed himself. So
mm-hmm.
when he was what we call the Theos Anthropos, when he was God-man, he was God and man, you know, birth of Mary, you know, mother and the Holy Spirit Father, Joseph, his earthly father, but he was God-man. And the man part of him, he prayed to stay in communication with his Father. And so if God as the Christ, is what I'm trying to say, prayed often to the Father, every believer has to follow that model, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And here's, he prayed to God to give him you know, vision. He prayed to God to give him power to heal. He prayed to God to get him through his stressful situation, the cross. He prayed to the Father, you know, and he showed his human side too. If there's any way, God, let this cup pass, but nevertheless, not my will but yours. And so he showed his human side. Now for us as believers, that's what we have to understand, because everybody's okay with prayer when it's being answered quickly. Everybody's okay with God when the prayer wheel, that's what we call it in the South, the old mothers, the prayer wheel is turning. When the prayer wheel is turning, it's like a revolving door. It's like the prayers are, as soon as, man, I haven't even finished praying and God's answering prayer. But then the Lord tests us, and a testing comes before we go to a new level, and a testing comes before God gives us more ability and purpose. One, two, and testing comes before God brings about a major miracle in our life. God is going to test us. And so almost everywhere I was listening this week, you know, last week, there was preaching and there was teaching on Jesus when he came up out of the Jordan. You know, he prayed, he went in, he was baptized by John the Baptist, he came up out of the Jordan, the dove came down and lighted upon him, the words came from heaven, "This is my beloved Son whom I'm well pleased." And then he went off for 40 days, okay, to fast and to pray. He's about to start his mission, and for 40 days he is fasting. Okay, so for 40 days he's fasting and he's praying for everything, and God is building him up, strengthening him, and he's making sacrifice in his body through fasting. Okay, and we oftentimes should put that together, prayer and fasting. Right. But soon as he comes up out of that prayer and fasting, and before he gets to his mission, he's tested, and so. Okay, and the reason why we fail a lot of tests is because we're not prayed up.
Correct.
And so that's what we have to understand with the model of Christ, because it wasn't a little devil, it wasn't a hater, it wasn't the scribes and Pharisees, it wasn't, you know, somebody mad at him. It was Satan himself waiting for Jesus after his 40 days. And then he tempted him with stuff that would have made everybody else fall. But because it was Christ, and because he was fasted up, and because he had prayed to the Father, he had strength. And I want to get that in people's heads more than anything else, is that prayer is not for you to be selfish. Praying is to strengthen us to do his work. Praying is for us to be strengthened to do the kingdom. Prayer is for us so we're clarified in our hearts, mind, and soul. What is my purpose in my church, in my community, in my neighborhood? What is my purpose in the community? And then because of that, the Lord grants everything else. You don't have to pray for your bills. You don't have to pray for your health. You don't have to pray for sickness. You don't have to pray for cancer. Because as all the pastors and my teachers in biblical school and everything told me, God already knows that. And the saying goes is that when you handle his business, he's handling yours. Now, there's nothing wrong with praying specifically for something, because God honors a specific prayer. But when we have things in line, God's already doing that.
You know, Pastor, that kind of goes back until we start talking about, even though a lot of times when we talk about the approach and the reasoning, we go back to that. And prayer also should be offered in faith, and pray, you got to pray for one another, which is what you're talking about. And
yes.
We also struggle with some individuals with prayerlessness, meaning some individuals don't want to pray. But what it sounds like you were talking about has to do with, we talk about God's will and a conditional will and an unconditional will, meaning when we're talking about this unconditional will, if that's what is going to happen, it was destined to happen anyway, because God has decided not to let certain things happen or let things do happen to us. You know, because a lot of times we go to God, we're like, "Lord, why did this happen to me? Lord, what? I know for the past 2 days, I'm like, well, why is my hand swelling up? Why am I dealing with this?"
Yes.
But the thing is, in this world, sometimes things will happen to get you to develop a prayer life.
Yes. Amen. That's so key because it ties into the scripture I was going into next, 1 Timothy 2 and 1, where Timothy, the young apostle, is saying, I exhort thee, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayer, intercession, and the giving of thanks be made of all men.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody is exempt from this if they want to be blessed on this side and on the next side. What we have to understand is that supplication is thanksgiving, and that's humility and it's thankfulness unto the Lord. Prayers is plural, and you identified that earlier, is that we pray and we hit those categories. And to simplify it, praying for my family, my country, my community, then praying for myself and loved ones. And then I can also simplify it even more, my resources, my finances, my resources, my health, all of these things. And then there's intercession. And intercession is part of corporate and community prayer. But it's more than that, because an interceder, okay, is one that understands that I have to pray harder for people when I'm intercessing than I do for myself. And so you have to be careful, because you can't have everybody pray for you, because some folks will pray against you. And what we mean by that is that there are haters, there are people that don't want to see you prosper. There are people that are just, you know, and they say, well, Lord, give them what they deserve. And almost the same attitude that Job had going to pray for the Ninevites. And what we have to understand is that, you know, that's not healthy. The Lord calls it witchcraft. And so we do have people who practice this, who call themselves prayer warriors and intercessors, and they're not. They're practicing witchcraft. And that's what we have to understand. Go ahead.
True. It's interesting you talked about that. I got a caller on, and this was kind of weird because it got 11111. So whoever it is, they blocked their number. So let's see who this is. Do you have any questions?
Okay.
I apologize for being rude, but I wanted to let this person see what this is about.
Praise God.
Good morning, or shall I say almost afternoon. This is Jeanette Abney. Welcome to Precious Predicaments. How are you doing? Okay, Pastor, they don't want to say nothing. Okay, but they're on.
I guess they're listening in.
Okay, yes, we are.
And so we reviewed a lot of different variations and different subjects and topic as it goes to prayer as a head topic, and then we generalize. But it's important for people to understand that how prayer is healthy for, you know, the individual, for their mind, for their spirit, and for their relationship with God. In that how prayer is now practiced by especially the believer and the non-believer, and how prayer is recognized as a tool for spiritual support, supplement, and then also for natural. Because when the mind is right and the mind controls the body, okay, that puts us in a better position of health. And so just as science and the learned, the academia has learned that fasting, which is also for the believer biblical, okay, is also good for the body. A lot of diets now are based upon fasting. You know, the believers have had this for a long time. It's been in the Bible. And then how it's good for the body, how fasting helps control disease and helps rid the body of the supportives of disease. A lot of diseases feed off different types of things that are in the body that are evaporated or that are expounded out of the body because of fasting. And so prayer in relation to that also has the same effect. For the believer, again, prayer is what we believe is our hotline, our communication with us and God, to get on a level to where we can understand our purpose, our calling, and to also take our supplication, our needs to the Lord and then also mm-hmm. intercede for others. And so I've given that general overview for whoever's listening right now. And so mm-hmm. I wanted to go into the place of how often should one pray. And okay. for the believer, as we said earlier, we want prayer for the believer, for the Christian believer. Prayer should be a lifestyle habit. Prayer should be done several times a day. Done early in the morning, it's a way to start our day off with the blessing. To start mm-hmm. our day off with our minds set in the right place, okay? We pray throughout the day. If you pray before you go to bed, it's been proven scientifically also, you sleep better. You have better dreams because you're going to sleep in peace. You're going to sleep, you know, with a clear mind and conscience. It's important. What the believer shouldn't do, like we said, is don't wait till you go to church to pray. Don't wait till you're in trouble to pray, because now it becomes a reactionary thing. You're praying now because there's a cause instead of praying because I have relationship. Mm-hmm. And that's not good teaching. It's not biblical, and it's not good training. Okay. Does it happen? Yes. Will God still honor those prayers? I've seen him. Mm-hmm. I know it. His word says he will. You know, that's what we said earlier is what we call grace. Is it good mm-hmm. practice? No. Just like with anything else. I can't wait till testing time or trouble time to operate a skill. It just doesn't happen mm-hmm. that way. I can take something yeah. basic as combing hair. If my mom always combed my hair and I never combed my hair and all of a sudden she wasn't around and I never practiced, and I'm in trouble no matter who you are. Mm-hmm. We learn these things. The same with tying shoes. We learn these things. We learn these things. And so with prayer, we learn our basic prayers and we advance. But when we use it as a and set it in as part of our Christian habits, lifestyle habits, and we learn to communicate with God daily, okay, we have a more blessed day. We have a walk that's fueled by what we call guidance by the Holy Spirit and power, and that means less friction. That means less mm-hmm. interference from the enemy. That means less headaches. You know, right. The Bible clearly says we're going to go through some things and we have to suffer some things, but the Bible also says that because of intercession, because of thanksgiving, because of prayer, you know, Christ is battling those and he's fronting those things for us. And that can't be seen as nothing else but an easier journey.
Mm-hmm. And you know what, Pastor? And you put it out there for other people. I mean, it's interesting when you were speaking, it reminded me of, because as we're talking, I'm trying to get my application packet done for the Orange County Probation Department with the Batterers Intervention and the Child Abuse Program.
Yes.
And sometimes they don't understand how I do what I do, and I don't let all of this stuff drive me nuts and stress over it. But it reminded me of, there was a lady, and I hope she's still alive, her name was Kathleen Thomas. And back in, yeah. I think it was 2007, she said one time how they would have meetings, but no one ever wanted to invite me or talk to me. She said, Jeanette, one time, she said, they always have these meetings trying to figure out how you do what you do. She said, I had to just tell them, you got a personal relationship with God. And I started cracking up because it was funny for me because it wasn't stressing me out. She said, we had these meetings. I'm so tired of them talking about this. I just said, she got a personal relationship.
Yes.
So no matter
yes.
what stuff is they were trying to form against me, it never prospered. And
no,
that's what we have to realize, because you got to believe and what you're praying for. You can't just be like, well, maybe I'm going to get it, maybe I'm not, or, you know. Now, I have some information, Pastor, and I want to give the listeners this information, talk about how to pray.
Yes.
And praying is simpler than you might think, and God is there and will hear and answer your prayers. You might not always get
mm-hmm.
the answer that you want. You may not understand God's will or why he's doing what he's doing, but there is a reason for it. Now, it says four steps to prayer. It says, God is your loving Father in heaven, and he wants to hear from you. You can reach out to him by praying to him. So a lot of times we have other people pray for us, but God can answer your prayers just like they can answer somebody else's for you. Now, it says praying can be done out loud or in your mind. You can speak to God like you would any other person. Your words don't have to be so eloquent or memorized, and it is important to be but to open your heart and not hold back. And to believe he is there and listening because he is. Believe he will help you because he will. Prayer is one of the most valuable gifts you receive from your loving Heavenly Father. It says you first want to begin your prayer. Before beginning, find a quiet place, be comfortable, you know, and start however you want to start. Have your conversation with God, meaning speak from your heart and share your hopes and desires as well as your worries and your problems. You know, a lot of times we only want to take our problems, but you can just speak for your heart. You can show, like you said, with Thanksgiving, you can praise him. You can say, you know, share your feelings with God. You just want to communicate with him. And
yes.
Another thing, in your prayer, and once you said what you wanted to say, you can end your prayer by saying, in the name of Jesus, amen. We do this because
amen.
Jesus commanded us to pray in his name, and everything should be done in his name. And it also
yes.
you can act on your righteous desire. There is wisdom in saying, pray as if everything depends on the Lord, and that kind of goes with the praying without ceasing. And
yes.
then work as if everything depends on you. It is the process of doing that we often get guidance and help from God. And, you know, when we talk about when to pray, if it says, for if ye should hearken unto the Spirit which teaches a man to pray, ye should know
uh-huh.
that we must pray. We must pray. As we're talking, I'm getting all these text messages. My cousin still wants me to come to Texas, but Bonnie ain't feeling right. I'm asking her how the weather out there is. She said in Texas,
yep.
it's summer. It's 80 to 90
yep.
degrees in Texas, but yet in Ohio,
yep.
people are text messages that they was in fear of their life and thought they were going to die. You know, so
yes.
we got all of this going on. You know, I was getting phone calls the other day from people wanting me to talk about what was going on in the city of Compton as far as with the mayor and the city councilmen, and then a guy that I know that's connected with some of this. It's just so much stuff. We got elections coming up in June. We want to people to do the right thing, but you spoke a little bit about demonic spirits and people praying for your demise, because prayer is
yeah.
powerful, and it can go both ways, you know?
Well, right. I mean, that's what we have to understand. The whole genie in the bottle concept is not there. What we have to understand is that Romans 8 teaches us, because of the fall, you know, the whole creation groaneth. In our Bible study, we're studying the book of Genesis right now. And in that study, you know, we understand that everything changed because of the fall of Adam and Eve. And
mm-hmm.
with the whole of creation groaning, we have all of this fallout because of man. And people seem to forget that. And it's easy to forget that when you're going through a crisis, because all
mm-hmm.
you want to do is get out of the crisis. People have to understand that most of the cancers that we have and diseases that we have now are man-created, or because of conditions of men, either through the industrial, you know, revolution, through different chemicals and agents and additives in food, and a lot of things are against the law of God. And we have to understand that. A lot of sicknesses are hereditary, too, and because of sin. And people, you know, are ready to shake their fist and shake their hand at God real quick to say,
mm-hmm.
you know, why did this happen? Why did you allow that to happen? And these were people that never had relationship with God. Maybe some did, maybe some don't. I let me clarify that point.
Right.
And some people who may have thought they had relationship with God really didn't, because let me tell you, not everybody that says they're a Christian are a Christian, first of all. A lot
mm-hmm.
of people, the statistics still say that 90% of our country still say that they're Christians. And these are people that don't go to church, you know, may show up on Christmas or Easter, have no faith, don't pray, don't read the Bible. You know, we do have a large mass out there that does confess the Lord and that are saved, but
mm-hmm.
need to improve their prayer life, need to understand and get a closer relationship with the Lord. We have all these things that take place. Then we have the prince of the air, who's Satan, who I talked about
mm-hmm.
in my sermon on Sunday. And we have demonic spirits, and we have these people that control areas and that control dominions
mm-hmm.
and that have powers. And we have to understand, as there's a force for good, there's a force for evil, and then we have to deal with man himself and people. All mm-hmm. of us have, all of us have a baser nature. All of us have things in us that will pull us down, and we have things in us that will pull us up. And mm-hmm. and one of my lessons I'm going to teach next is balance. And what I mean by that right. is when we're imbalanced. If you eat three times a day, you're feeding the flesh. If you pray mm-hmm. three times a day, you're feeding the spirit. And that's how important mm-hmm. prayer are. And so we have a lot of people, pond the expression, excuse the pond, I mean, who are fat. And what I mean is not overweight. What I mean is that they feed the flesh all the time. You got mm-hmm. Snickers, you got chips, you got candy. And if you're feeding the flesh all the time and not the spirit, then your baser nature has the most power. And everybody has something that riles up. You know, some of us have a quick-witted with our tongue. Some of us are short with our tempers. Some of us, you know, have what we talked about earlier, have addictions and things we're getting over and things we want to get past and hurt feelings and things. And so when we don't feed the spirit to suppress those, okay, our good nature doesn't always come out. Our good gifts don't always rise above that. And it mm-hmm. puts us in a place where our baser nature will dominate us. And when that happens, things like stress comes, depression comes, anxiety comes, low self-esteem comes, and these are all what I call barriers that keep us from a good mindset from praying. You can have talented, good people. You can have talented, good, blessed people in places, and what happens is because we let our baser nature come in and rule, it can keep us from doing the things that fortify us. I've talked to pastors that say, Estelle, I haven't prayed in 2 months. Bishops who, because things happen in life, and what happens is mm-hmm. the devil sends those things to try to throw us off. And yeah. this is why for the believer, revivals are necessary. Okay, to have a prayer partner is necessary. To continuously mm-hmm. go to church every Sunday and hit a midweek service. All these things are our maintenance package. All these things are mm-hmm. are equipped, are there to remind us, to equip us. That's what communion is. Mm-hmm. You know, when we partake of the bread and the wine, it's a reminder of the sacrament of Jesus. It's a reminder to pray and to fast. This we do mm-hmm. in remembrance of you. And prayer is key. You know what would happen? I say this in jest, but I mean, you know what would happen if every believer prayed every day? It'd be so much power. It'll be a woo. And we see it in a few instances.
Also, because you know what? It goes back to what they talk about when they say more prayer, more power. No prayer, less
yes.
power. And
yes.
we would be more powerful if we pray together. And that was one of the reasons why many individuals started corporate prayer. And churches started
yes.
joining forces and praying together. Like you're talking about the migration or joining forces with the Methodist church. I was telling Mother Perkins the other day, I said, when I was going to a Methodist church, when I used to sing when I was a teenager, it was a little different. The structure was much different at the Methodist churches. But things are changing, and people are trying to join forces because they're finding that there's power in number and there's power in
yes.
prayer. And we have to
yes.
get back to that because we're in a nation, we're in trouble. You know, whether it's dealing with politics, whether it's dealing with our home or family, we have to do something.
Well, you just got into, but I had this on my list also. We're talking about prayer, what to do when God now answers prayer.
Mm-hmm.
When God answers prayer, you cannot be scared to move forward. You can't.
Yeah.
You can't pray for. We have an example in the book of Acts where everybody's inside the house and they're praying for the men of God, Paul and Silas, to be released from prison, the 16th chapter. And they're in the house praying. They're in the house praying. They're actually praying. They have a prayer meeting. They're praying. They're praying. They're praying. They're praying. And then there's a knock at the door and they say, who's there? Paul and Silas. No, they ain't. They can't be. Because, see, why are you having a prayer meeting you don't believe? Why are you having a prayer meeting you think God is not going to do what you're asking him to do? It just does not make sense. And so, and let me tell you something. Don't be afraid when your prayer is answered. Don't be scared when God blow your mind and God does it. Because, you know, we don't give this formula as a weight loss formula, or we don't give this formula as a get-rich formula. This formula is for advancing the kingdom of God. When you pray daily, often daily, you pray by faith, you pray by the scriptures, and you pray by the way Jesus taught us, and you pray with earnest, you pray by faith, God is going to answer the prayer, and don't be scared. Don't be scared when he gives you that business, that contract. Don't be scared when God blesses your home, your marriage. Don't be scared when God blesses with the new church, when God opens up the way, because that's what we're praying for. And when we pray and God sees your heart in earnest and God says, I can bless that person because I know they're going to do right. I can bless that person because they're going to be thankful most of all. They're going to be thankful when I do bless them, and they're going to use it to build the kingdom and use it to be a blessing to others. And that's what God sees, the big picture.
Correct. Well, you know, Pastor, I'm trying to look through to see if we have any questions. The person online said anything, and I told individuals that they can, if they had any questions, now would definitely be the time to call, because a lot of times we've had individuals talk about how they didn't know how to pray, they didn't know how to fast, they didn't know, you know, how to go about if God answers their prayer. Sometimes when God answers our prayer, we need to give them thanks, you know, give honor where honor is due. A lot of times we forget about God when he do with us, for us, when we ask him to. So, we just got to be mindful of the things. It's like going back and getting back to the basics is where a lot of individuals kind of get confused. And when I think you're talking about the conditional will and unconditional will, and in James, when we talk about in James 1, when it goes back to we have not because we ask not, and a lot of times if we tell them no, we don't want to ask them, or it's like going to our parents. Now, I have some information. It says, what does the Bible say about prayer? And we indicated earlier that the Bible does teach us and encourage us to pray while providing lots of examples and advice on how to do so. Mark 11:24 says, therefore I say, whatsoever soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you will receive them and shall receive them. And even in Colossians 4:2, it talks about continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And I like James, because a lot of prayer and information comes from James. And it talks about 5:16. Confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. Because when we talk about that, we always look for prayer when we talk about healing. And even when we talk about praying with our faults, we don't want to make our those confessions of, Lord, you know I screwed up the other day, because Lord knows I screwed up on Sunday, but I don't want to talk about it. But the thing is, I was a blessing to a lot of other people. That's not fun, but the Lord, forgive me. But we do need to go back to praying, and even when we know we've done something wrong.
Yes. Well, I mean, you know, the word clearly says that God is married to the backslider, and we always have our way back home, and that's through prayer. And, you know, we thank God for that, you know, that we have a God who understands that. And God is a God of his word. Our God is a God of his word. I had about 3 questions from people, and we answered them during the course of the show. But what I wanted people to understand is that if you're a new believer, join a church. Join a local Bible-believing church, a church that prays. And it's important for a church to have prayer. You know, before we have Bible study, we have prayer. Now that we're merging together, we can go back to where we had morning prayer and shut-in. And these are corporate prayers where you're coming together, where 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name. I'll be there in the midst praying for the local assembly and praying for the community. These things are important. But for new believers, you know, we have the scriptures, in Matthew. We have the guideline in Matthew. We have the scriptures that we've given out today. If you go on our website, as it is right now still, HDWC, you can look on there for prayers. A lot of good Bible-believing churches have places on their website where you can put a prayer request. If you're not at a place where you can pray now and have people pray for you, it's important to always pray and practice every day until you become much better at it. I know people who could just pray for hours and who could pray for days, and you ask them how they learn how to pray, they would just say, I got a little better each day. I just learned how to communicate more with the Lord, and as I begin praying, the Holy Spirit helps me. And that's the key. Mm-hmm. If you have a will, if you have a desire, the Holy Spirit's going to help you pray. And then with corporate prayer, big things happen. The last great dispensation of this modern era was the Azusa Street Revival that happened in 1906, 1907. And, you know, we're in 2019 now, so we're talking about 112 years ago. And there's a great outpouring that's getting ready to come again. But that outpouring came because the whole city of Los Angeles was in prayer. And people find that hard to believe because Los Angeles is corrupt. I mean, there's everything going on. Trafficking and drugs and corruption within politics and government and all types of things going on now. But the churches are yet praying. And similar situation was before this great revival that lasted for, you know, almost 2-3 years. And that's incredible for a revival. And Reverend Seymour and then Bishop Mason and different ones all got together and this great revival started. And when it started, they say, oh, that's them crazy folks praying. Maybe I should have laid off the program with this, but that's what they said. These crazy folks are praying, and the Catholic came out against them. The Presbyterians, the Lutherans all talked against them. That's not church. That's not how it is. But then things started happening, Jeanette. The criminals start coming to church. The drug dealers in that time start coming to church. The gangsters start coming to church. People start getting saved. The churches were growing. The churches were filling up. And then even the Catholics had to say, well, prayer changes things. And then the Lutherans had to change. The Presbyterian had to go back 2 months later and 3 months later and say, this is not a fad. We're seeing canes being hung up on the walls. We're seeing wheelchairs being folded. These were people who we know documented that went into this meeting that were sick. They were documented handicapped. They were documented. You can go and you can look up articles in the Los Angeles Times and other newspapers at that time that had the stories of the Azusa Street Revival because of the prayer that took place, the healing, the changes in people's lives, people that found jobs, people that bought homes, people that most of all were filled with the Holy Ghost. And this whole and this great outpouring of the Lord was brought on by prayer. And it was kept going because of prayer. And that was so important with the praying and the fasting and then with the preaching and the revealing of the Word of God on top of that.
You know, Brad, I want to read something that I saw on Facebook. I'm looking at it, and it's basically in a group, and it's called Stay Prayed Up. And it says, happy is the person who learns to wait as he prays and never loses his patience, for God's time is the best time. And I find it to be very, very powerful when, you know, just the way that is even written, because you got to be patient. It's not going to always happen just because you want it to happen. And yeah. I found something else, and it says, God said to tell you the Lord will fight for you. You need only be still, and that's in Exodus 14:14. So those are some of the things that we have to stand on this word and we have to believe on. Now, there's some other information I want to share that I want you to close us out, and it talks about 8 keys to a more powerful prayer life in 2019, because pretty soon we're going to be halfway through 2019. Time has just flew by us, You know, they say time waits for no man and has no respect for husband.
Nope.
I'm like,
right.
It's June already. Now, it talks about there are 8 keys that have helped individuals develop a more powerful prayer life. And they want to encourage other individuals to make 2019 a year of prayer. Know to whom you are speaking. Prayer is a conversation with God, and every conversation begins with addressing Him as that person. Thank Him.
Yes.
When you think of it, thank Him. Ask for God's will, not your will, but God's will. You know, a lot of times, even when I look at people offering their condolences, and they'll say, you know, I want to thank you for praying for my brother and my father. You know, he went home to be with the Lord. But that was God's will. But a lot of times we want the person to stay. Say what you need. You know, we want to make sure we're being clear, we're being honest in what we need, and ask for forgiveness. Sometimes praying with a friend helps. There is power in agreement when we pray in Jesus' name, and when you have an urgent need to take before the throne of God, you can call a friend to ask them to pray with you. Pray the word. Memorize scriptures. You know, there's a lot of books that, you know, I remember I told this lady, Miss Porter, she'd always give me books all the time, drive me nuts. And she would give me books, and she gave me Iyanna Van Zandt's book, Every Day I Pray. But there's books, there's scriptures that's already pre-written, but it's like words of affirmation. You have to believe it. And if it's in God's promise, stand on His word. So, Pastor, what else can we do? Because we talked about, we gave the listeners a lot of information. I was hearing some background noise from the person that called in. Let me ask the person if they have any questions. They've been listening to the show. Hi, I know you've been on hold for a while. I just wanted to ask the person if they had anything, any comments that they wanted to, or question that they had. It's stuck. I'm trying to click it over, but it's...
They must be enjoying the show and getting all their questions answered. So, and that's a good thing.
I really hope.
We just want people to understand. We just want people to understand is that if a person is an atheist, agnostic, you know, or non-believer, I respect their position, and because I'm a Christian and a believer and a person who believes in prayer. You know, I ask you to respect mine. You don't have to, but I ask you to. And what I believe, you know, are my beliefs. I stand by them because of the positive effects in my life. This is not just because it was the way I was raised or because it's my culture. This is because of my relationship with the Lord. And that's so key, and that's what's so germane about it. We've given all the scriptures and the evidence, and then we've talked about how even the unchurched pray, a lot of information. But we're here to encourage those who are praying. We're here to give information for those who want to seek information about prayer, and that's what it is. Mm-hmm. This is all positive. And so people will recruit, as you said, you have a person who, for whatever reason, is recruiting people to go another direction. And so these types of things happen, and what we have to understand is the Bible lets us know that. But I do know that, you know, as we say in the church, nobody can do you like Jesus. No one can do you like the Lord. I stand by that. I have the Word of God. I have the Word of God as my backup for that. We can go through scriptures, and I'm an apologist as well. I love the scriptures. I love to, you know, go through the scriptures with people who want to, who have an open mind and want to know. And so what prayer does for me, you know, is give me the boldness to do that because I understand my God and His power, and I understand what has done for me and my family. And so people say that, and then they want to test you. And then I let them know, you know, I've had a business that I built from scratch that earned me 6 figures, well close to, you know, 7 figures, go down in 2008 in the crash, when the market crashed. I built myself up another business to have it go down on the next crash. You know, I've recently had a child, a teenager, that passed away. Recently, when I'm saying recently, I'm talking about on Christmas Day. And then people start looking at you funny and understanding, well, I thought you were a Christian and you prayed. And that's not what it's about. No. What it is that the Lord allows you to get through situations and strengthens you, and he helps mm-hmm. you to grow despite all of those things, and you still can keep your head up. You still can move forward. You still can go forward. He didn't say that if you pray there won't be a divorce. There still might be a divorce, but he's going to have something better for you behind the divorce. Okay, it may be God correcting a mistake or a bad decision. It's the same thing with sickness. It's the same thing with this. There's not a day that doesn't go by that I don't miss my child that's passed away, but the Lord has blessed me to enjoy my other children, and the Lord just blessed me to recently become a grandfather, and I know that my child that passed away is in heaven. And so the prayer has gotten me through it so I can stay focused, because I still have bills to pay. I still have a family, mm-hmm. right, to work for and to provide mm-hmm. for. That's what prayer does. It gives me comfort to know that she's in heaven, and the ability and peace in my heart and mind to keep accomplishing my goals and doing the things that I need to do and keep pressing forward. And I pray that, you know, I will see her again in heaven. And that's what prayer does mm-hmm. for the believer. And that's what people need to understand. So, you know, I just feel it in my heart. The Holy Spirit just spoke to me. People are going to come back and listen to this podcast mm-hmm. because I think it's going to be one of our more popular ones, because prayer is coming back around. It's really becoming very impactful in a lot of churches and a lot of places. The prayer meeting is coming back again, and I'm excited mm-hmm. to see that. So God bless mm-hmm. you. This is Pastor Dan Estelle.
Wait a minute, Pastor. I got to say this. Bit. I kept trying yes. my best to click the person off of mute, but it wouldn't let me. I kept clicking for yes. the past 3 minutes. So I guess the Lord yes. wanted this person to listen versus speak, so that person had
Amen.
To be quiet and silent, because I tried my best to click this thing off. It would not let me take that person off of mute.
Well, praise the Lord.
I only did it because it was background noise, so I apologize. So if you have any comments, questions that you have, I can relay that to the pastor, because I did try to take it off of mute. I only did it because of the background noise, but I'm still clicking now, Pastor. Nothing is happening.
Yeah.
So
Amen.
Sometimes we have to
God
be
bless
in that
you.
Mode
we'll
where
see
it's
y'all
better
next
that
week.
We listen versus speak.
Yep.
Now, Pastor, I have a topic that for next week, and it talks about don't sacrifice the gospel. Because a lot of times individuals want to start to make sacrifices and give up. So let's talk about that a little bit, so we can make sure that we stand strong and stay committed to what we're doing
mm-hmm.
and not sacrifice the gospel. So until next week, remember, you've got this. Thank you, Pastor, for joining. And whoever called with
God
the
bless.
Block number with the 1-1 was, I apologize. I did try to take you off mute, but it wouldn't land me. So
God
thank
bless
you for
listening
to the Precious Predicaments Block Talk Radio. Thank you.